Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, we're an emotional bunch, I guess. I said we're an emotional bunch. You know, not everybody that's emotional is spiritual. But everybody spiritual is emotional. Everybody that is spiritual is emotional. Why? Because we bless the Lord with the whole heart. With our whole being. With our spirit. With our soul. With our mind. With our bodies. With our life. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all. Everybody say all. All that is within me, bless his holy name. We're not afraid to lift our voice. We're not afraid to get emotional before the Lord. Why? Because we got to get out what's on the inside of us. He's such a big, he's such an awesome God, and our faith is growing. Our faith is getting big in a big God. And we're expecting big things from a big God. And we're just becoming overwhelmed with him. When we think on him, when we think of his goodness and what he's done for us. Now I understand if you haven't thought on his goodness and what he's done for you, I understand that if you've just thought on what the devil's done for you. If you've just been thinking about what the devil has done and all the bad things that have happened in your life, then I understand you're going to be overwhelmed with depression. You're going to be overwhelmed with hopelessness. You're going to be spiritually empty. I understand that. But when you think of his goodness and what he's done for you, don't make me come down there and have to tell you everything he's done for you. You need to know what he's done for you. You need to know very well what he has done for you. How he has brought you out of the kingdom of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of the Son of his love. How he baptized you in the Holy Spirit and in the fire of heaven. Come on. What he's done for you. Oh, he has saved my life. He's redeemed your life from destruction and crowned you in loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, what I think of his goodness and what he's done for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. When you think of his goodness and what he's done for you, you're going to get Pentecostal. You're going to act like a bunch of holy rollers. That's exactly what you're going to act like. You're not going to worry about looking dignified and proper. Because he's just been too good. He's just been too good. Too good. I can't sit quiet. I just can't. I gotta run. I gotta dance. I gotta shout. Because he's so good. Hallelujah. Glory. It's crazy. It's crazy in the house. I had a very dignified Baptist visit our church. He's a very dignified Baptist. He loved my teaching. He was coming for quite a while, loved my teaching. Then one service, we lost it. You know, if you really love the teaching, if you really keep receiving this word of the living God, and you actually put it to work in your life and be a doer of this word, and then you see more of his goodness in your life. It gets to the point after getting filled up with the word, that at some point, something has to give. Something's going to pop. Something's going to explode. It's just what's going to happen. So he loves my teaching. Every week I'm just teaching, teaching, teaching. Well, quiet and dignified, just like him. Receiving, receiving, receiving. And then that service came. It happened all at once. We couldn't contain it anymore. Couldn't contain it anymore. We got to thinking of what he's done for us. And folks just started rotting. Folks just started dancing. Folks just started shouting. And when the service was over, I went over to him, and he and his wife weren't happy at all. They weren't happy at all about it. And I said, what's wrong? What's going on? He says, it just wasn't right. It just wasn't right. It was like a circus. It was like a circus. So I began to share scripture with him because he didn't have scripture to combat it. It just wasn't right. It just wasn't right. It just didn't feel right. I said, you got to put your feelings up against the scriptures. What does the scripture say? The Bible talks about the joy of the Lord. And I shared these things with him, but it just wasn't right. It just wasn't right. And so they went on, praise God, into other pastures. But it is right. Something's wrong when we don't get emotional. Something's wrong when we don't get excited. If we're taken in, and we're believing and we're receiving, something's wrong if something isn't changing. And it isn't on God's hand. We got to look and say, hey, what's going on here? There comes a point where we got to stop and say, look what he's done. Look at what he's been doing. Look at what he has shown me. This is awesome. This is amazing. Hallelujah. This is out of this world. Glory to God. And we just start thanking him and praising him. And sometimes just a nice thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. That's good. But sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes you got to go a little bit further and step on over into worship. Step over into a reckless abandonment and praise him with all that's within you. We see that with King David. King David was a very dignified leader. But man, the day came where the ark of God, representing the presence of God, came into the camp. I mean, the anointing filled that place where they were. And I mean, David, he just lost it. He just lost it. He just threw off his royal robes. He just went out there and started dancing, whirling about before the Lord. Just lost it. Just got overwhelmed. Just forgot who he was. Got so lost in who he is. He just forgot about who he was. That's a great place to be. You know, that's where you were created to be. Just lost in him. Lost in him. Because when he made Adam and Eve, that's where they were. They were just lost in him. Lost in his presence. Lost in his goodness. Lost in his love. Lost in his mercy. Didn't have a care. Didn't have a worry. The devil was out there roaming around, slithering around. But the devil had no place in it. They weren't bothered by the devil at all. And then they entered into sin. They broke covenant with God, and what happened? They all of a sudden became self-conscious, got all caught up in themselves. When they got caught up in themselves, they got embarrassed. They became ashamed. They began to run. They began to hide. Fear began to grip their life because now they're no longer God-conscious. They're self-conscious. But God originally intended man to be enveloped in him. Caught up in him, enveloped in him. And thank God now through the new birth, being born again and then being filled with the Holy Spirit, you and I can get over in a place where we are enveloped in God again, where we wear him like clothing. He envelops us like a cloud. He's all, he's in us and he's on us and he's all around us. We're baptized in him. What does that mean? That means we're submerged in the Holy Ghost. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. He has brought us back to that place where we can walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And that walking in the Spirit is walking conscious of God. And the more conscious you are of God, the more you're walking in the Spirit. So you can go deeper and deeper in the Spirit. You see that a lot through the New Testament, talking about in the Spirit, in the Spirit. Even in the Gospels, the Bible says in Luke that Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Luke 10, I believe it is. He rejoiced in the Spirit. In the Spirit. See, conscious of the Father. And of course, Jesus, as he walked through this life, he was always talking about the Father, always acknowledging him, always aware the Father is with me. I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Just see, he was just in that place of the Spirit, just enveloped, caught up, and he's our example to follow. We can walk in that place. We can walk in the Spirit, enveloped in our God, just more conscious of Him than even our own flesh. More conscious of Him than anything in this world. More conscious of Him than the cares of this life. And that's why the Bible talks about being drunk. Being drunk. The disciples, when they first got filled with the Holy Spirit, they were like drunks. To be drunk means to be overcome. So we're to be overcome not with alcohol, not with drugs. We're to be overcome with the Holy Spirit. Overcome with God. That's what happened to the church. They were likened to drunk people. That's how you and I to go through this life. Just caught up in God. Drunk in Him. Don't have a care in the world. Overwhelming joy. Overwhelming joy. Amen? Because remember, that's the kingdom of God. What? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See that peace? That's being comfortably numb. Amen. That joy is just, it's an overwhelming joy. You're always on the verge of a good laugh. You're always on the verge of a good laugh. Devil does something, you laugh. It's just easy to laugh. You laugh at the devil. Amen. Just laugh at your circumstances. Oh, it's so much better than griping. So much better than where fear comes, you laugh. That's a great reaction to have. Just to laughing. Full of joy. Full of joy. Now we know that God's kingdom is all about joy, but that does not do away with sorrow, crying, shedding tears. There is a godly sorrow. We've been looking at that now for the last couple weeks. We want to understand it. And it's just to bring balance to things. But again, we're still dealing with the emotions. We're still talking about being wholehearted in our service to God, in our worship of God, in our living for God, living by faith. Living by faith is living wholehearted. It's the whole heart. It's a full commitment, a complete trusting in God. It's a reckless abandonment over into the care of God, where we're not caring for ourselves anymore. We're not loving and caring for our lives anymore. It's to the point where it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And when you get in faith about something in an area, in that area where you have gotten in faith, you've gotten into the place where it's no longer you. It's Christ. Christ is doing this. Christ is bringing this to pass. Christ is walking this thing out through me. Amen. Whenever you're over in faith, it's no longer you, it's Christ. Because that's what faith is. It's a swap. You're trusting in Him. You're not leaning on yourself anymore. You're not trusting in yourself anymore. It's complete dependency upon Him for everything. He's walking me through this thing. It's Christ that's living His life in me now. He's living His life through me now. Amen. So it's a wholeheartedness. It's a complete giving yourself over to Him. It's a full dependency upon God. Notice this here in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In verse 8. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow, what? Godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. So there is a godly sorrow, and then there is a sorrow that is of the world, that the Bible says produces death. It's not a good thing. And again, that's the sorrow of depression, hopelessness. You feel hopeless about your life. There's no hope. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't believe this has happened to me. And it's just hopelessness. That sorrow just leads to more trouble. That sorrow will bring you down, bring you into an extremely dark place. We need to resist that. We need to resist that. But there is a godly sorrow. And notice, this godly sorrow, he says, produces repentance. What does it mean to repent? That means to turn. You're repenting. You are turning from something or turning from someone like the devil. Turning from sin, turning from wrongdoing, and turning to God. And again, it's a wholehearted turning. It's turning with all of you. I'm turning, not just physically turning, but I'm turning with my whole heart. I'm giving my whole heart to God in this area. I was over here giving my heart to the devil, involved in things that weren't right, playing around with things that are contrary to God's way of doing things, and I turn from that. It's not, I'm going to try not to do it anymore. Well, I really don't want to let the pull. It's just so strong. You're stronger. You're stronger. You got some serious strength on the inside of you. You know, there's been people that they have just gotten worked up in the flesh, in the natural, to the point where their adrenaline was just running. And they were able to do things in the spur of the moment that if they had stopped and thought about it, they wouldn't have been able to do it. But they were just overwhelmed. Like I've heard about, you know, somebody gets trapped under a car, you know, and mom sees her kid trapped under a car and she grabs the car and lifts it up off her kid. So where did she get that strength? What would make her even think she could do such a thing? There was just a rush of adrenaline. Everything in her reached out to save that child, and there was no stopping her from rescuing that child. And she grabbed that car, pulled it off that child. Have you ever heard stuff like that? Yeah, we've all heard stuff like that. Because it happens. I mean, there is tremendous strength in us. Now, add to that the Holy Spirit. Add to that the new birth. God living on the inside of us, saying all things are possible to him who believes. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. I mean, we got strength. And to sit here and say, well, I'm trying. And I just keep slipping. No, you just have not turned. You have not repented with the whole heart. You haven't taken yourself and said, I am not going to live like this anymore. You haven't drawn the line in the sand and said, no, I'm done with that. That's why it still keeps playing with you. You keep playing with it. You got to come to the point where you turn. You want God's way of living and God's way of doing things more than anything else. And you turn with the whole heart. You turn with the whole heart to God. And when you do, now you're in faith. And you are coming out of that mess, never to return there again. Huh? I remember Smith Wigglesworth tells a story. He got on a bus, and they were at a bus stop, and there was this woman there with him, and she had a little dog that kept coming up to him, and she said, now you got to go home. And the dog would go two steps and come back and just rub up against her again. She said, no, you got to go home. The bus is coming. You got to go home. She's trying to chase her dog back to the house. She's going to catch the bus. And the dog just keeps coming, you know, he'd go a few feet and come back to her, start rubbing up against her again, and she's like, darling, sweetie, you gotta go home, you gotta go. Well, the bus came, and she had to get on the bus, and the dog just kept coming. Finally, she just went, get, and the dog took off, ran. That dog went home. And Smith Wigglesworth said, he was sitting on the bus. He said, without even thinking, he just spoke out loud. And he said, that's how you gotta do the devil. That's how you gotta do the devil. Get! I mean, when she got serious, it changed. As long as she's like, oh, 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 it's still gonna keep rubbing up against her leg. I'm trying, Pastor. I keep trying. Get out of there. God has created you for so much better. He's created you to live a much higher life. Come on. I'm not going to be robbed of the kind of life that God has for me. I'm turning from that. Turning to Him with the whole heart. Amen. And when you turn with the whole heart, man, there's going to be strength. There's going to be power. There's going to be ability to stay free of that thing and to walk on in the greater purposes of God for your life. But a lot of folks never going to get over into that greater purpose of God as long as they're half-hearted. Half-hearted. Can't be half-hearted. And enjoy the victory that God has. You might enjoy half the victory that God has for you. A lot of folks are content with half victories. They're enjoying a half of the kind of life that God has for them right now in this life. They're half-hearted. They're enjoying half. They look around and say, well, I'm getting more than Charlie. Charlie's not getting anything. He's not getting nothing, but at least I got half. I'm better than Charlie. And we're happy with 50%. But we don't want to be content with 50%. Because God's not content with 50%. We got to have a vision for what He's called us to. He's called us to a greater, much greater life. So we got to get serious about it. Give 100% to knowing Him. Get 100% in drawing near to Him, which means 100% turning away from things that distract us from us, from Him, that trip us up, keep us from walking the way we're supposed to walk. Somebody say, I ain't playing with this anymore. Not playing with it anymore. That's right. And notice here, he says in verse 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance. There is a godly sorrow. What is this sorrow? This is a wholehearted crying out to God for mercy, for grace, for deliverance from a way that is not right. I just can't do this anymore. I will not do this anymore. And you get passionate about it. You get emotional over it. Now again, we don't have to walk around in a continual state of emotion where we're just like wired. But like I said before, we're always on the verge of a good shout. And we could say we're always on the verge of a good cry. A good cry. Why? When we see how far we fall short of what He has for us. When we see around us the entrapments. When we see around us the things that would try to keep us from fulfilling the divine plan of God for our life. That concerns me. Because I know it's not how you start. It's how you finish. And I'm not just thinking about now. I want to make it to the end. And I don't want to die prematurely. I said, I don't want to die prematurely. I don't want to forfeit what God's called me to do. I want to run this race that God has given me, and I want to cross the finish line and say, I've done it. Now I'm satisfied, and I can lay my life down, and I can go home and receive my reward from God. That's how it's got to be. That's how it's got to be for me. Why? Because eternity is too long for me to get up there and not have received everything I was supposed to receive as a result of living for Him here on this earth. I want to run my race and finish it with joy. Amen. Cross the finish line, stand before Him unashamed, and receive the crown of life that He's laid up for me. Take my place in His kingdom that He had reserved for me. There's a place He's reserved for us. And if we'll live the life here on earth the way we're supposed to live it, if we'll live our lives the way we're supposed to live it, then we will receive what he has for us. Can you say amen? So you can see here with this godly sorrow, there's an intensity. There's a crying out to God for things to be right. Crying out for things to be right. And sometimes crying is all you can do when expressing your heart to God. Because there are some things that go beyond words. Right? There are some things you feel you're so passionate about. It's so important to you. It means so much to you that it can't just be expressed in eloquent speech. It just can't. It's too deep. It's too intense. It's too passionate. You know, you think of, you know, sports. Think of football. You know, sometimes before a game, the team will get together and they'll get in a circle. And sometimes, you know, they'll be saying some things, you know. This is our house. This is our game. This is our time. But sometimes it gets to the point where these guys are so fired up, all they can do is just make noise. Right? All you can do is just make noise. God gave us the Holy Spirit. Gave us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then gave us a prayer language that makes no sense to your mind. Why? Because now you can pray out of a place that is just overwhelmingly real, overwhelmingly powerful, overwhelmingly intense. And all you can do is go, Shanda karande venika lavaste. All you can do is speak utterances that don't make any sense to the natural mind. Groanings that come out of your spirit, but yet make perfect sense to God, and are the result of a wholeheartedness in prayer to God. I want to pray with my whole heart, don't you? Hallelujah. Thank God for what we can pray with our understanding. But then there's a place where you get over it in praying where it's, there's more you want to say, there's more you want to do, and it goes beyond your intellect. And thank God he's given us the Holy Spirit so we can yield to it and get those things out. Get those things out. And sometimes it'll come out in senseless laughing. Laughing that makes no sense. Joy that makes no sense. Sometimes it'll come out in crying. Crying. Crying again is an expression of something deep that's within you. Something deep within you that you are trying to release out of you. How many people know you and I got faith on the inside of us? We want to get that faith out. We want to reach out with our hearts and we want to connect with our God. Right? We want to connect with him. And so sometimes it requires more of you than what you can say with your intellect. What you can do with your mind. It requires all of you. And that's where crying many times will come in. We saw last time that Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, she had been barren. She couldn't have any children. And finally she went before the Lord. And year after year, you know, they'd go up to the temple and worship God and things. But she couldn't have any children. And finally the day came where she just had to have a breakthrough. I mean, it had to happen. It needed to come to pass. And it wasn't just for her anymore. It was for the purpose of God. It was for the plan of God to come to pass. She needed to have this child for the Lord. And she began to cry. She began to cry out to God. The priest that was there, Eli, came over. He thought she was drunk because, again, she was overwhelmed. She was crying and pouring her soul out to the Lord. And he thought she had been drunk, and he rebuked her for it. But then she showed him, no, I'm not drunk. I'm not a wicked woman. I've poured my soul out to the Lord. And then he gave her a word. And he said, the Lord grant you your petition. And he represented God to her. It would be like Jesus looking at you and saying, God grant you your petition. Let it be done unto you according to your word. That's what he was saying. Let it be done unto you according to your praying. And when she received that word, faith came. And she no longer was sad. She walked out of there joyful. And I think it was in a year, she had herself a child who became Samuel. She dedicated him to the Lord. He grew up to be a great prophet of God. But notice, she poured her soul out. And what did it do? It moved her into a place of faith, where she was able to receive a word from God and thus receive the promise of God. It's important to understand that our crying doesn't manipulate God. When we cry to God, it's our faith that's in that cry that connects with the Spirit of God and causes us to be able to receive what He has for us. So it was the faith that caused her to receive, not just the crying, but the crying moved her into faith. Crying put her into a position where she could receive that word from God. We need to be very expressive. I think that's the point of what the Lord's trying to get across to us. And you see, again, this is the complete opposite of religion. Oh! Makes me want to have a fit. Because religion and religious people, they remove wholeheartedness right out of everything they do. It's not there. It's just dead emotionally. Everything is quiet and reverent. And even when we preach in a very calm and dignified manner. And there is no intensity. And if you start getting emotional in your chair, we have ushers to take you out there. Because we're not going to have that in here. We're not going to have the circus. We're going to be so reverent. We're going to be like dead people. It's an evil thing. It's disconnecting God's people from God and giving them a false sense of security. There's no passion. There's no faith. There's no passion. There's no faith. There's no emotion. There's no wholeheartedness. You're not giving your whole spirit, soul, and everything to Him. And yet, I make you feel good about you being complacent and passive in the things of God. That's deception. That's an evil thing. Jesus said, I'd rather you be cold if you're not going to be hot. I mean, if you're going to be bad, be really bad. I mean, if you're going to be cold, be ice cold. Be passionate about being cold. Can you imagine that? That's what he said. That's what he said. Rather you be ice cold. Ice cold Steve Austin, you know. Ice cold, man, just insensitive. Or red hot. Just burn up passionate for God. He said, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Why? Look, he can't tolerate that. That's an evil thing to God. And it's because I think one of the reasons is because it's so deceptive. If you go to a person that's really ice cold and you say, are you right with God? They're going to say what? No. No, I'm not. You know what's going to happen when you die? Where do you think you're going to go when you die? I'm going to go to hell. It's exactly where I'm going to go. I like people like that. It don't take much to minister to them. It's these religious people. Where do you think you're at with God? Oh, it's good. It's good, man. It's good. The Lord, He's a good Lord. He's with me all the time. Oh. They do their thing. They live completely contrary to Him. But the Lord's good. The Lord's good. No. The Lord's good. I go to such and such a church every Easter and Christmas. See, they think they're good. They're tough. They're the ones you got to walk up to and say, well, have you ever lied? Have you ever lied? And, you know, it's crazy. They'll lie right to your face and say, no. Your whole life you never lied? Well, I might have when I was little. Have you ever stolen anything? No. Can I see your taxes? I mean, they're liars, they're thieves, they're all these things. And you know what? They don't acknowledge that. I'm good. Because I'm religious. These folks are hard to reach. And what's made them this way? Religion. Religious demons have made it this way. And so we have to realize this is completely unacceptable to God. This is not touching God. This is not meeting with God. This is not reaching God and receiving the things he has for him. It's not happening. It's dead. It's regurgitation. It's dead. It's lifeless. He'd rather you're hot. No, you're going to hell. I like when you walk up to people and say, where do you think you're at with God? I'm not good, man. I'll tell you that right now. Well, if you die today, where do you think you'd go? I'd probably go to hell. That's a good place to be. So you know where you're at. You're not deceived. You're not in this lukewarm cesspool. And you think that you're beautiful and everything's wonderful and you're rich and you're... He talks about that in Revelation. Let's go there. Revelation. This is something to cry about. Over here in chapter 3, Jesus says in verse 15 to the church at Laodicea, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. This is loving Jesus. This is sweet Jesus talking. Doesn't sound very sweet. Sounds pretty severe. Verse 17, because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy. God has just blessed us. We have so many things. It's the blessing of God. He's just blessed our business. He's just blessed us. We got so much money. We're just blessed. Well, you say you're rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing. And remember, this is written to the church. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They didn't see how wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and wretched they were, did they? They didn't see the bad condition that they were in. They were blind to it. See, over in that lukewarmness, it's blinding. But man, when you recognize, oh God, I'm not walking in your fullness. I'm not walking in all that you have for me. And oh God, man, I've let this stuff get into my life, and I've let this stuff, this pollution, get on me and get around me. And look where I've been living, and look how far beneath where I'm supposed to be I've been. Oh God, forgive me. And what's going to happen? There's going to be a sorrow that leads to repentance. It's going to be deep. There's going to be a crying out. You're going to feel awful about that place. And that's what's going to get you out of that place. But how many people know prayers that don't move you probably won't move God either. Prayers that don't, if you pray, you give, and it doesn't move you. It's just, you just do. You just do what you can. It's 50% and make do. And everything we do is just, it isn't wholeheartedness, half-hearted. Then how much is that really touching God? I want my prayers to touch him. I want my praise and worship to touch him. I want to give him my whole heart. Come on. Out of the whole heart, I want to seek him with the whole heart. What does he say over in Jeremiah 29? Let's go there. Jeremiah 29. Wholehearted Christians. That's who we are. In the midst of a very lukewarm world. But that's what revival's made out of, man. It's people on fire for God. That's really all revival is. Just people that are revived. They've gotten excited. God's real to them. I mean, if somebody said, there's a revival, it has broken out over at the First Church of the People. And you think, my God, I got to go over to the First Church of the People. And you go over there, and you come walking in because you heard of revival, a special revival meetings, 7 o'clock that night. They're having them every night. Every night it's revival over there. They're having service every night. I got to go over there and check this thing out. And you walk in the door and everybody's just, I holy, holy is the Lord. Today a reading from Jeremiah chapter 29. Well, I mean, that could happen, but would that be revival? Huh? You'd probably walk and go, this isn't the right church. I mean, it's a nice church. People are lovely. Very, very sweet people. But you wouldn't say it was revival. Would you say it was revival? You would not say it was revival. It's not revival. Friend, we're supposed to be living in a continual state of revival. What is that? Just people believing the Bible's true. I mean, really believing it. I mean, really believing God is true. Really believing God is here. God is with me. God's in me. God's done awesome things in me. He's doing great things through me. Great things are coming. Right? I mean, people are gonna be excited. True? Yes. People are going to be excited. There's going to be passion. There's going to be emotion. It's going to be there. It's going to be there. And notice here in Jeremiah chapter 29 and in verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Notice that. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with what? With all your heart. All your heart. That's your entire being. That's with everything you have. So it's about giving our all to God. When we come and we seek him and we pray, there's going to be times when we think of his goodness, what he's done for us, we're going to shout, we're going to praise him. It's going to be exciting. But then there's going to be times that we can't express ourselves enough in words. How much we want him and want to be clean and free of the entanglements of this world, where we're going to come before him, we're going to get down before him, and we're going to cry. We're going to cry and cry out to our God. And that's a godly sorrow. A godly sorrow. It's the result of the fear of God. So we're going to have them both. We're going to have times of high emotion, rejoicing, praising God, and then times of deep crying out to God, pouring our souls out to him. And it's important to hear these things because, again, there's so much religion. There's so much lukewarmness around us all the time in our society, trying to keep us in this very unacceptable place, in a place where spiritual things really aren't real, where we talk about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the Sunday school class, but dare anybody say they met with God? And God manifested. And God touched somebody's life and overwhelmed them so much that they couldn't even stand up. They fell down. Or they had a vision. Huh? They're so overwhelmed. They got a prophetic utterance. Huh? This folks, prophetic utterance. I mean, they get nervous about that. And these are people that preach the prophetic word of God that's full of God moving, God manifesting. See, it's dead. See, this is what we got to get a hold of. There's a deadness in the body of Christ today. In the body of Christ. But he said he would vomit that out. Didn't he? It's in him. But he said he would vomit that out. It's unacceptable. There's a deadness. There's a lukewarmness. There's a place where there's no passion. There's no energy. There's no fire. And we need to recognize, man, there needs to be a time where I am beside myself praising God, shouting and thanking him, laughing. Don't even know why I'm laughing. I mean, I know I'm laughing because it's him. I'm just laughing in the spirit. There's nothing funny going on around me. Oh, hallelujah. But then there's times where I'm just crying and weeping, and I don't even know what I'm really crying about. I'm just crying in the spirit. It goes beyond my reasoning. It's something down deep on the inside of me where I'm just pouring my soul out to God. Just all I could do, like a baby, I can't communicate good enough. It's too deep, it's too big, it's too overwhelming. I can't communicate enough. And just like that baby, I just cry and cry and cry and cry. But it's a godly cry. It's a faith cry. It's moving me closer to Him. It's moving me into a place of surrender, complete, full surrender to God. And if you don't see this in your life, it's not about beating yourself up. It's about recognizing, I got to get that. Because that's normal. We live in a world where people think total demented thinking is normal. We drive down the road and we see a guy on a billboard with a cigarette in his hand or riding a horse. It's Marlboro country. And we don't even think about it. I've looked at it. I've literally said to myself, because, you know, I want to always keep myself in reality. I look at it and I say, that is so deranged. That we can advertise. Or advertising alcohol. It's destroying people's lives. It's ripping apart people's lives. And yet we glorify it. These things are normal around us. Right? People watching perversion on their television. They movies, and you can have this channel come into your home and have this channel come into your home, and people are taking their clothes off. Could you imagine if somebody in this church stood up and took their clothes off? That would be pretty psychotic. You look and say, that person's lost their mind. They're crazy. They're possessed. But yet you can watch it on television. That demon-possessed person that's doing it on TV, somehow it's okay. It's normal. It's television. Well, it's a human being doing completely obscene things. These people are deranged. They look at the stars. You can see through their clothing as they walk around, pray themselves. These are deranged people. This is deranged thinking. But you see it so much, you think it's normal. And we can see so much of what really isn't God and think it's so normal. This deadness, this lifelessness. And we got to realize this is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. It's got to be like, it's got to be to us like it is to Him. Vomit. That's disgusting. I know. It is. It's got to be disgusting to us if we're going to move out of it. Come on. If we're going to move over into everything He's got, that's got to be absolutely disgusting to us. We can't be like the dog that returns to his vomit. We can't be like that. That's got to be something that's disgusting to us, where I could never return to that. I could never go back to that. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to see that in my life. Come on. This is normal. This is normal. Praise and worship. Shouting. Running around the room. It's a circus. No, it's normal. It's normal. Everybody should be shouting if we're really thinking of His goodness and what He's done for us. Come on. And crying. It should just happen. We should be on the verge of a good cry when we think of what we haven't walked in yet, what we have to have, what we have to get free of and walk away from, and the changes we have to make. This service should bring somebody to tears. Maybe not here, but take it home and go before the Lord with it and let it bring you to tears and say, oh, Jesus, oh, God, I've been way too lukewarm. Oh, I detest that now. Oh, I don't want that, Lord. Lord, help me to see that that's now how I want to be. Help me to see that You got so much better for me. And we press into God. Stir up in the Spirit a good cry. Hallelujah. And then don't leave it there. Praise God. Get over and thank Him. Don't just end it on a cry. Get over and thank Him and praise Him. I mean, after a good cry, it's important for you to get over here and get into a good time of praising and thanking God and shouting. Hallelujah. Are you getting this morning? Hallelujah. And we get in there. Now, again, our emotions aren't out of control. Do I look out of control to you? Emotions aren't out of control. We're sitting here. We're very dignified people. We're not chaotic and crazy, are we? But nevertheless, it wouldn't take much for you to shout, would it? It wouldn't take much for you to just jump up and spin around, would it? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But it wouldn't, would it? Would it? Would it? Wouldn't take much for you to hit this altar and just cry in repentance to God and recognize, my God, I've been living lukewarmness. I've been living, Lord, so far beneath what You have for me. Wouldn't take much. That's where we want to be. I said, that's exactly where we want to be. And God is helping us through His word to get us over there, to shake ourselves and say, no, this is how I'm going to be. I'm not going to be the way religion has painted it for me. I'm not going to, this world, this demented place that we're living in. No, that's not going to be normal for me. I'm going to go against the grain of this world and live according to this word right here. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. People will persecute you. Yes, but you don't care because you're wholehearted. You're totally devoted. You're not fearing man, you're fearing God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's where you and I are pressing into right now as God is calling us to revival. He is calling us to be a part of a revival to change this nation. It's the only thing that's going to change this nation. We need a move of God, which is a move of the church, which is the church being moved. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I want to be a part of that, don't you? Yes. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Let's thank him. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.